To it, I would like to read a word which we find written here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a well-known word to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Here it is written, the Apostle Paul says it by the Holy Spirit, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What a promise is given to us that we cling to a wisdom, that we hold fast to a wisdom which is not of this world, but to a wisdom that is perfect, which comes from God, as I said before. And for this we are grateful to our God. May God open our hearts also this morning, that we come to Him, that we look on Him. We just read it. If the princes of this world or the wise of this world would have known who He was when He was on the earth, then they would not have crucified Him. But it was the plan of God. Everything has to take its course, just as God determined it. We spoke already this morning with Brother Dietmar. The time in which we live, it runs so fast. It comes to its end, and God brings us His word so that we recognize, see and realize that He will appear very soon. May God give us also grace that we not only know these things, not only hearing them, not only see them, but that our hearts are prepared to meet Him. For it will not help me, it will not help you and us that we know, that we have been taught, that we have received knowledge. No, all this will not help. Only the grace of God, which makes us able, not because of our efforts, but the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ, which glories above judgment. This makes us able, and for this we will thank God, that He was nailed to the cross for us, that He suffered for us. Here we have it. The Apostle Paul has written it by the Holy Spirit. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. This we received from God as an offer, not only as an offer, but we have it as a down payment. We can hold fast to it. And this we also want to do. We want to worship His name, thanking Him for the grace and faithfulness which He has given us. Now we will thank our Lord, and I would like to ask that some brothers thank the Lord for the grace. Let us stand up. Lord, You see and know our hearts. You know our desire. You know the motives of our heart, what brings us to come here, O Lord. Lord, give grace that we open our hearts so that your word, the precious seed, can fall on a fruitful ground and that it springs up, that this precious seed comes forth, O God, bringing glory to you. Give grace also this morning, Lord, to receive your word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, strengthen us. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ. Anoint the lips through which you will speak. O God, we can do nothing, Lord. We ask you, Lord, give your good Holy Spirit, Lord. Reveal thy will even more in our midst, in our hearts. O God, may you reveal yourself, Lord, so that we always have you before us. Lord in heaven, that we seek you in your word, O God. For your word is life. That's what we heard last night. Your word is the truth, Lord Jesus. And for this we thank you, Lord, that in you and in your word we have the wisdom, Lord, which comes from above, my God. I ask you, Lord, we ask you, bless all your people all over the earth. You see and know each one. The one or the other, he wants to be here, O God, and he cannot be here. But we know you are everywhere present. You answer everywhere there where you are called upon. My God, we praise you for it. And we ask you, Lord, give us grace that we don't miss the goal before us. But that what we read, what no ear has heard, what no eye has seen, neither has entered into any man's heart, this you prepared for all them whom you ordained for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in a perfect hope we can look up to you and we'll reach it by your grace. Amen. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. What a privilege. That's how we always say it. It is to be under the sound of the word of God, in the name of the Lord, to be gathered, to hear what he has to say to us, and also to believe it, and to add nothing to it, not to interpret anything, but to wait until God's hour comes, and that it pleases the Lord to do what he has promised. It is an indescribable grace if we may belong to them who persevere until the end. For he who perseveres until the end, he will be crowned. Not the beginning, not the time in between, but the end will be decisive for all. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, whoever runs in the race puts everything off what could burden him to reach the destination. We are so grateful to God for his speaking in this time. Thankful for the revelation of his word, of his will, of his name. Thankful for that. What people, what theologians, what professors, what Bible school teachers did not know and could not bring, this God has given us by his grace. And he took the simplest of the simple, and he has the greatest and the most mighty word of all times he has put upon the lampstand, and he has revealed it to them who feel under age in the presence of God, not bringing the wisdom with them left and right, but who as empty vessels appear in the presence of God. They can and they are always refilled. I don't know who said it of our brothers. There is not one meeting in which we are not blessed in this or the other way. Not one service in which the Lord does not speak with us. Not everybody has to be spoken to in the same way. Not every meeting, not every word may mean the same to everyone. But in every service, in every preaching, God has something for everyone. Sometimes it may be more and sometimes less. But God never lets us go empty-handed. His ways with His people are and will remain incomprehensible for us. And yet we may see them and walk on it, the clear goal before us. Shortly, also this year, will again be behind us, and we look into the future and ask ourselves, what will it bring for us? But we are confident that not we have to plan, but that God has planned already. Just as Brother Rus already mentioned it. And if one would speak about all the leadings and guidings of God, then there would be testimonies and again testimonies about that, what God has done. It's not even 2 weeks ago that I sat in New York with a brother who is not in the message at all. But he wrote, he asked, he listened to 3 sermons, and he said, Brother Frank, I would like that you come to New York and speak in all the churches with which I am in connection with. And then he said, I also would like that you come to Jamaica. And I heard the word. And I could remember a conversation with a bishop which I had in London, who told me, listen, you mentioned William Branham. I said, yes, I did. Then he says, at that time I was in Kingston, Jamaica, and never before and never after I have seen and heard such a man of God. The man had crosses hanging on his chest, and I thought by myself, you heard him, but you didn't hear God. You heard a sermon, but you didn't understand what's all about. And since that day, I nevertheless had in my heart a urge to travel one day to Jamaica. And this brother mentions it and says, I would like to arrange the meetings there for you. Are you willing to come? I of course straight away said yes. Although I planned for the coming year to not plan anymore and to not give my consent to anything, but to wait how God will lead and place the things. But you all know, if then the doors are opening, how can one remain sitting? We have a great, a wonderful message, which we may carry through the countries. And we are not ashamed of the revealed word of God, and also not of Him whom God used for it, to bring us the promises for our time, to bring them nigh to us. But we confess very clear, not Brother Branham revealed these things to us, but the Lord who spoke with him, who made it known to him, is the same Lord who by the same Spirit has revealed the same word to you and to me, to all of us. And therein is the big difference. We not only have heard a great man of God or the greatest man of God, we have heard God. We understood the speaking of God. And therefore, the reverence before the Word of God, that we, to that what was said, that we add nothing to it. I was quite sad a few times on my last journey through Australia because I received a small glimpse into the inside what was going on, which are among them who pretend to believe the message. And when a brother in Adelaide told me, Brother Frank, just imagine, because this and that direction believes that the Lord has come already according to Revelation 10 and made a new covenant. So it's no more the covenant by the blood, but now it is the word. And they have the hymns which deal with the blood. They don't have them anymore in their program. It is no more valid. And this really pricked my heart. And I thought by myself, how far can people go? Until the end, the ancient gospel remains valid. There is only one gospel, and this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will never exist any other gospel than that what was left unto us by our Lord and by the apostles. And right this gospel was in its fullness put anew upon the lampstand. Most certainly at the year end, I will have to give the challenge to prove to me where Brother Branham has said the Lord has come. I can prove that still in the sermons in 1965, he repeatedly said, we wait for the coming of the Lord. How can people take certain statements and misinterpret them and misrepresent them and then even place them upon the back of a true prophet? But one thing will certainly have to be also taken into account. We live in a confused time. People lose the orientation because they turn away from the Word of God. Nobody should think that the direction is still correct if he turns away from the Holy Scripture, for then it's not right anymore. Then we can speak of Moses and all the prophets. Then it is no more correct. May God give us the grace in all humbleness and with a grateful heart to receive and to believe. When Brother Rus yesterday made the closing prayer, bringing it before the throne of God, it touched me deeply. It moved me what was expressed therein. You most certainly also remember the words which were expressed there. And I asked myself the question, and I want to ask it to all of us. Has it humiliated us that God is merciful to us? Or did we become arrogant because we probably know more than others? May God show us the limits, giving us a humble heart, but filled with thankfulness, that we don't think to be more than others, but If it should be gloried, then the grace which we received by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who can give himself a revelation? Who can take one for himself? Nobody, unless it is given to him by God. And so we are gathered as people who have nothing to bring, but who are ready and who are longing to receive everything what God has prepared for us. And we have read it already in the word of introduction. Here it is written, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, namely that what God has prepared for them who love him. We are again at the core of the whole matter of God with us. Everything is embedded in divine love. He who loves God loves all who are born of God. That's how the Apostle John writes it. He who is born of God loves all who are born of God. And this reminds me now on the example of Friday evening. I actually didn't want to say it. But precious brethren, where we had dinner in Belgium, they brought us to the meeting place. Brother and Sister Kupfer were with us. And then the preacher says to these precious brethren, whom we all appreciate and love and know them well, he says to the brother, you may not participate in the service. We travel a far distance. The brethren bring us there. And that brother, who has the love of God in his heart, and who brings us there to this meeting, to him it is being said before the meeting, you may not participate in this service. And you can imagine, so much French I do understand, and the whole atmosphere, and one just marvels. One doesn't understand the world anymore, the pious world. The other we can all understand, but the pious world, we cannot understand it. Tears are shed. The brethren say or think, what is now? A brother Frank preaches in a meeting on a Friday evening in which a brother who loves him and who he loves may not attend. And there a heart shall not be torn. And these people want to be all in glory with God. There is no lack of hallelujahs. Many are deceiving themselves. They make a murder pit out of their hearts. They have two souls in them, two lives in them. They didn't make yet a full decision, and they didn't make a direct experience with God. We cannot go here into all these details. This time it was absolutely not about me, but about that what was among each other. People want that God forgives them everything, but they are not ready to forgive one another. They keep it in them, and if then the opportunity comes, then everything breaks through. We have to forgive just as God has forgiven us in Christ, completely. Completely. And God does not remember the things anymore. Also, our memory can get bad in this point, that also we don't remember anymore, but that we know that if there was something that God has forgiven it. When it was read here of the wisdom, I had to think on the word in James. Here in Corinthians it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. The wisdom of God is mysterious. It is hidden. But right that, what was hidden should be revealed. And James writes of this divine wisdom. Here, in chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What a mighty word! This is divine wisdom, pure, peaceable, not a know-it-all. Nothing of all these things which are today on the agenda, but the nature of Jesus Christ, divine love, manifested and proved also in trial situations which almost go beyond our ability. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. This is divine wisdom. Everything else is human wisdom, and perhaps still another one. But the wisdom of God, it comes with a word from above. The word has gone forth from the throne of God to us, and the divine revelation accompanies the word addressed to us. Divine wisdom comes upon us, comes into us. A union is established from out of our heart, from our soul, toward God and to His word. We step upon revelation ground, and we know that by it we are in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, where not people interpret and speak, but where God appears with His glory, where His word alone is valid, where the Ark of the Covenant is. And I believe that this will have to be the condition of the church at the end, that we find our place in the presence of God. Divine wisdom, revelation of the word, revelation of the spirit, manifestation of the power of God, free from doubt, free from hypocrisy, not two faces, not a twofold language, one language, namely the language of God. This has to be given to us by grace. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, we read verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
auch die Engel gern hineinschauen möchten.
Brother Schmidt read us the word, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not entered into any man's heart. This God prepared for them who love Him. Here it speaks now of that, that men were sent from God, who have preached the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, that things were preached into which angels desire to look into. This could almost mean that there are things which are still hidden to angels. The greatest mystery of God is the mystery with Christ and the Church, the mystery of the Bridegroom with His Bride. And if we consider that we are so close before the return of the Lord and arrived, then we must also understand that the Bridegroom reveals to the Bride the last mysteries, but they must be in the Word of God. There is no revelation of God which goes beyond the Word or runs next to the Word. There is only a revelation of God which runs in the Word. Everything else are human bypasses which lead us astray. The way of God is always the way according to His Word. But let us consider, let it be transfigured to us by the Holy Spirit, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. Things the angels desire to look into. As God in the Old Testament used the prophets, coming upon them with His Spirit, showing them visions and revealing His Word to them, giving divine inspiration, so the Lord in the New Testament let the same Spirit come upon the apostles, so that the word of prophecy, the plan of God, which was already determined, could be set forth to the people of God in all clarity and truth. Has something changed on it? Absolutely not. If we are today in the kingdom of God, then today the same standards apply, the same conditions. Then not everybody can say and do what he likes. Then it must be men who were ordained by God to preach the gospel, not after men, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. This power is not demonstrated by the men who preach the word, but people who hear the word from a commissioned mouth. They come under the power of God, under the Spirit of God, and receive revelation of the word and revelation of the will of God, and thus are being taught by God. And no man needs to teach them any longer. This word is very important, as there were men at the beginning who have preached the word by divine revelation, things into which angels desire to look into. So God also at the end of days took care for that not the wisdom of men is presented, that not interpretations are proclaimed, but by divine commission, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in its fullness. Blessed are we when the Spirit of God can come upon us and transfigure these things to us. Yes, leading us into it, into the deep things of the mysteries of God, things into which even angels desire to look into. Just imagine that it can be possible that believers who have heard the word through such men who were called from heaven, who are authorized by the Holy Spirit and were illuminated from above, that things were made known unto us into which angels desire to look into. Doesn't that humiliate us? Who are we? I can read you what we are. In the same Peter, 1 Peter, in chapter 1, here it is written from verse 24, maybe also 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There is no other word, no other gospel than that what was preached at the beginning. And we believe that the prophetic ministry in our generation has taken place within the limits of the Word of God. And whoever tries to show it in a different way has not understood yet a divine sending and the plan of God. Everything will wither. What is man? Man is as the flower of grass. He withers and is no more. If we could imagine this, that our life is so short, and that we ask God that He could bless this short life, whether it's our feet, our hands, our mouth, whatever it might be, that everything is put into the service of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Let us look at the people who already went from us, already after 2 or 3 days. One can see the change going on, but the same would happen with you and with me if the Lord does not come before that. And what then? What then? What good is the whole life? What good is all the bossiness? What good is everything if we have not become a blessing to others? A life which God could not bless was lived in vain. And if believers want to tell me that they enter glory without the promise that the Lord gave to Abraham being fulfilled, namely, I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing, then I have my reasonable doubts. A child of God must become a blessing. There is no other way. A curse become all the others. The blessed of the Lord become a blessing. That is what God has ordained us to. But we must also recognize that we are just humans, forgetful and weak. We flourish, we are here, and then we are no more here. We will only take that with us, what has been given to us by God. And this is what matters. And as we read it here, the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Men of God, driven by the Holy Ghost, they spake. If we are driven by the same Holy Spirit and inspired, then we have to say the same what they have said, or not. Will the Holy Spirit speak another language? Will he, because the times are changing, will he then change his word? No, and again no. Everything stays the same. It was just newly revealed and put upon the lampstand. All the mysteries which we know today were all written in the Holy Scripture, in the Word of God. Only they were not made known because the time for it had not yet come. When the time was fulfilled, God sent His servant and prophet to bring the last message to the last church age at Laodicea. Not that we make from it own directions, but recognizing the divine direction. Not that we make our own plans, but that we recognize the plan of God and let ourselves be placed into this divine plan. That's what it's all about in these days. I had to still think on another word, on Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, for we have heard so many things. The question comes up then, what could God do and accomplish in and on us? Ephesians chapter 4, here I just read the first verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they of a pure heart. Blessed are the meek. We know the Sermon on the Mount, and we know the beginnings of the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord has given all these promises and said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Many times you feel it, or the effects of it, what can come out from a heart, like a landslide, like an earthquake which brings forth lava, tearing down things. It cannot stay like this until the end. God wants to be merciful to us. He wants that everything what does not belong into our hearts, that it is being taken out. He wants to give a new heart, a new certain spirit, a new life. We have said it here before. After the body, we may be weak and fragile, but a person who is born of God must have received divine life. If we say that God is our Father, then we were begotten of God, and from God only God can come forth. As from humans, only humans can come forth. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. And if we call ourselves brethren, and he already said, as it is written in the word of prophecy, I will declare thy name to my brethren. Did we not speak last night about the name? Father, I have revealed thy name unto them whom thou gavest me out of the world. That's how it was already written in the word of prophecy. I will declare thy name to my brethren. What a wonderful revelation of God in Christ. And then the revelation of Christ in us. I don't know whether all of us understand this, whether it was already truly revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. For then we don't know each other anymore after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then we see divinely, we hear divinely, and we understand it that way, because we have been placed into the divine stand. Here it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, as such who are forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. And we know that the Spirit of God brings together and puts together. But in the same letter to the Ephesians, here in chapter 4, it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This stops then. Then we come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Then we are taught by God. Then we discern where roguishness, where craftiness and malice is, where deception is involved, where doctrines are presented, which no Paul and no apostle has taught, and also not Brother Branham. We can then discern, and this is the gift of discernment. I believe it was Brother Rus who told me, when the talk was about the gift of discernment, we can only discern if we let God's word be the guideline. This is the Tumim and Urim. In the days of Moses, the priest had the breastplate with the 12 stones and the light flashed if the matter was correct. Here we have the doctrine of the 12 apostles. The light must flash if the thing is correct. And if it doesn't flash, then it's not correct. And we don't need a twilight. We need the light of God, the revealed word of God in this time. I actually wanted to come to chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, but the last two verses in chapter 4 may also belong to this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. Here it doesn't say, be followers of Christ, but be followers of God. God was in Christ. God manifested his love and his grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. There used to be a dear Pentecostal brother in Düsseldorf. Some of us may still know him or knew him. He always liked to sing a chorus, "We are the Savior's children." And you know, we not only take it precise because God's word must be taken precise, but we take it precise because God wants to have it precise. We have to take the formulations in the way as God has given it in His word. We are children of God. We cannot say, "Jesus, you are my Father." That's simply not possible. We have to see the things divinely in order, leaving and using them this way. God has become our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. And He taught us to pray. When you pray, then pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It of course goes back, just as the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary and Christ was born, so the same Spirit of God overshadows us to bring forth in us through the Word new divine life and to make us sons and daughters of God. That's why our Savior said in the Gospel of John in chapter 20, "I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father." All these scriptures have such a great significance. We have become of divine kindred, but we also know how it happened. I mentioned it already last night. God could not do it in the spiritual body as Yahweh. He had to come into the flesh. And how did it happen? The word of promise was given, and the Spirit of God overshadowed her who received the word, and the divine was born. That's how it is said in the Holy Scripture very clearly. Perhaps I formulated it a bit crass last night, but I want to repeat it. Nevertheless, repeat it. God had no son in heaven to whom He said, "Now I will let you fall to earth." No, there is no such thing. There is not one conversation during the 4,000 years which a father would have had with a son. Not a single time. It doesn't exist. It was the Lord God, Elohim, Yahweh, the Elohim, who is Spirit, revealed Himself as Yahweh in a visible shape of appearance. That's how He spoke to the prophets. And He was the Word, which at the beginning went forth from God, the Logos, and He became flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ our Lord. We see how God has put the things in order, but in the same way we believe that He revealed Himself as Father, Son and Holy Ghost. We don't touch these revelations of God. Just the contrary, we rejoice that He has revealed Himself for our salvation in such a way. First, to accomplish the redemption, and secondly, to take dwelling in the redeemed. His manifestation in the flesh happened to redeem us who were condemned in the flesh. His manifestation in the Spirit happened to fill the redeemed with the Spirit. Everything happened to realize the great plan of God. Actually, the Word of God is not meant for the theologians at all. They just made the thing their own, or rather they have usurped it without any authority. The word of the Lord came to them whom God ordained to carry it, and the word of God comes to them who are ordained to see the glory of God. Of course, not to people who made a science out of it. I still remember the Dutch priest who studied for 7 years. He came at the beginning here to us and stumbled then over the Godhead and said to me, "Brother Frank, 7 years I have studied, and the main thing was to compare the relationship Father versus Son and Son versus Father, Spirit versus Son, Son versus Spirit." He said that was the main thing in all of our study, 7 years. I said, "Forget the 7 years and everything what you studied there, and then God will reveal himself to you." The people made a science out of it, and all these things stand in their way. The head which they carry with them should be taken away, and it should fall into the heart. Here we have the word of our God, and it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." In Christ our Lord, we have been made acceptable before God. He is the perfect sacrifice. There is no need of a sacrifice for our sins anymore. We believe that the sacrifice of Calvary once for all took place and is sufficient for everyone who sees by faith the Lord on the cross. As a German hymn writer sings it, "He who sees Jesus on the cross by faith, he is saved in the very same hour." May we be saved. May we be well. For thus it is written, "There is in no other salvation, and no other name under heaven is given among men than the name of Jesus." But we see that everything belongs together. The blood, the word, the Spirit, the Gospel, the mysteries, the revelation of God in Christ, the revelation of His name and of His will, everything belongs together. Blessed is the man who under the preaching of the word sees all these things, receiving them, and to whom they are revealed by the Spirit. Nothing new, and yet new, and yet everything new. Has the Bible not become a new book for us? Have not the old truths become very new to us? Did they not overwhelm us? If we think about it, what God has done, we just have to pay attention to it, that we don't cool down. As our brother from Palermo said here last Wednesday night, there where God is, there it is not cold. And you know, we all listened how it should go on. And then it came as quick as a shot. God is fire. God is a holy, a consuming fire. And because He is fire, it cannot be cold in His presence. And if we are in His presence, then the divine fire penetrates us. It was a short but a very mighty sermon which we heard here last Wednesday night. Sometimes you miss something if you are not here on Wednesdays. I mean now our dear brethren here at the place. The time will probably come again where we can hardly wait longingly for every service. Oh, that it would be fulfilled what is written in Psalms. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That one gets glad when one comes to the house of the Lord, and is not this house made with hands, but coming together as the church of the living God. And beloved, let us also not forget this. The church is judged. The verdict was spoken over her. and the judgment and the verdict and the chastisement was laid on him, so that we could be acquitted, so that we could receive redemption and would be pardoned to serve now the Lord. Let us be careful that everything what could quench this divine life in us, or could stop it, or could interfere, that we don't let it come up in us, but that we watch over it, that the Lord can have His way with all of us. In the love of God, in the truth of God, in the Word of God, in the grace of God, everything what God has given, therein we want to walk, therein we want to live and be found on that day when the Lord comes. But because we don't know when our time could be over, Brother Branham said then, I could be wrong for 20 or 10 or 100 years, but he was ready to meet the Lord. Calculations do not matter. It matters that we have the certainty in our hearts to be ready when the Lord comes. How many lie down and never get up again? How many drive away and never return? Life is like a breath, as the flower of the grass. It flourishes and then it fades away. Suddenly, we are no more here. But if we have the certainty to have forgiven everyone, just as God forgave us in Christ, not imputing anything, just the contrary, only to feel deep pain, then God will be with us. Then we have nothing against anyone, but we thank God for the grace, for the forgiveness, and for the salvation, and may walk on in faith until we come unto seeing. May the Lord bless all these words on us and make us grateful on the deep inside of our heart. For also this we emphasized many times, among billions, it is a handful who in these days hears the pure revealed Word of God. And we may be numbered to this little multitude and belong to them. That should be reason enough that we thank the Lord, that nobody must still be begged to thank the Lord and to praise Him, but that we all, as from one mouth, thanking our God, that He is gracious to us, that He has taken care of us, yes, that He has spoken with us, that He has revealed Himself to us, and to it His Word and His mysteries. May He give us the wisdom from above, wisdom that is easy to be entreated, which is not puffed up, which does not know everything better, wisdom that is pure, without hypocrisy, without roguishness, without craftiness, without all that, divine, pure wisdom, which comes with the revealed Word as instruction, as teaching, as introducing into all the things which God determined for this time. What shall we say to it? We can only thank God and say, Lord, we are like the dreamers, but we don't dream. We don't dream. We have been awakened because we have heard the last call and want to be available to the Lord and remain faithful until the end. He holds you. He holds me. He holds all of us. We are engraved in His pierced hands, and it stays that way until we come from believing unto seeing. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank God. Heavenly Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you together for the great privilege to be gathered in your name, to be in your presence under the sound of your word. Beloved Lord, your word is fresh, it is alive, it is sometimes sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, it divides asunder what does not come from you, and gives us everything what you have given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful God, of what prophets only suspected, this we may experience, this we may see, of what apostles have written, of what they were waiting for, this we may see now and witness. Beloved Lord, you have taken all prophets and apostles, but your word is with us. Your grace is with us. Beloved Lord, we thank you for it. Take us all. Faithful God, do something new. Do it by the power of your blood, O Lord, by the power of your Spirit, and by the power of your word in all of us. May your word be accompanied by divine wisdom. Lord, this is it, for it is revelation of the Spirit. My God, my God, together we thank you for the privilege to have heard the message, to add nothing to it and to take nothing away from it, to wait patiently and to persevere until you fulfill everything. Bless with us all your worshipping people. Bless Israel. Bless your church. Bless the bride of the Lamb. Faithful Lord, you, the bridegroom of our soul, in what kind of love you speak with us. Oh, we thank you for it. We lay also before you all who misunderstand us. We pray for all who tread our name into the dirt, throwing at it, and I mean it honestly, be merciful to them, O God. They don't know what they are doing. They don't recognize that their tongue is kindled by hellfire. Beloved Lord, they don't understand the damage they cause. Beloved Savior, be merciful to us. Be merciful to all who ever tasted the cup of blessing. Lord, place yourself before each one. Step into the way. Stop it, that we search our soul, each one for himself. In your presence, faithful Lord, turn anew unto us, O God, that your gospel is not only heard with words, but that it could be experienced in power. We wait for it, and we believe that it will happen. Once again we thank you from the bottom of our heart for all your grace until here. You have brought us. You will lead us until the end. Keep us faithful. Faithful Savior, keep us faithful. I have to run a race and endure some battle, as the German poem goes. Give me the strength to do it. Keep me faithful. We thank you also for one another. Bless all brothers and sisters who could not come. We remember all them who are in trouble. All the petitions we bring to you, faithful God, Everybody has needs, be it in his life, be it in the family, wherever it might be. Everywhere are needs. There is sighing and moaning everywhere. Beloved Lord, may you arise on your holy throne and stretch forth thine right arm, giving to your people the victory of Calvary, manifesting it for the praise and for the glory of your holy name. Please make all the enemies thy footstool. We thank you that you will do it, for thus it is written. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be to your wonderful and holy name. Amen.